Welcome to episode 16 of Idiom America. After Edgar Allan Poe's poem Bells bubbled up in the last episode about silver idioms, I found myself thinking about bells more than usual, and I got to thinking it'd be fun to do an episode about bell idioms. And part of the reason for thinking more about bells has to do with the holiday season, I'm sure, since bells are in the air much more than usual. I'm thinking of the bells on Santa's suit, the bells on Santa's reindeer, the bells on the toes of elves, sleigh bells, the Salvation Army ringing their bells at red kettles, school kids ringing handbells at Christmas concerts. And then there are all the many winter holiday songs involving bells, of course, the most famous probably being Jingle Bells. And not to get sidetracked here, but it's worth mentioning a few fun facts about Jingle Bells. It was written in 1857 and was originally titled One Horse Open Sleigh, and it was more of a Thanksgiving song at first, but because of the snowy lyrics and the fact that choirs started to sing it around Christmas, it became more of a Christmas song. And it was first recorded in 1889 on one of Edison's phonographic wax cylinders, and it would be probably the oldest known Christmas record if any copies of it still existed, which unfortunately they don't. Also, it's considered to be the first song to be broadcast from space, as during a Christmas prank by the Gemini 6 astronauts in 1965, they brought out a smuggled harmonica and sleigh bells and proceeded to play Jingle Bells. Anyway, to name just a few more songs with bells from this holiday season, you have Silver Bells, Jingle Bell Rock, Sleigh Bells, with that just hear those sleigh bells jingling, ring-ting-tingling too. Winter Wonderland, Sleigh Bells Ring, Are You Listening? And a few different songs called Christmas Bells, one by Perry Como, one by Andy Williams, and the one that's based on a Henry Wadsworth Longfellow poem, which has a few famous phrases that have stuck around since he wrote it in the middle of the brutal Civil War in 1863. And to quote some of it here in abridged fashion, I heard the bells on Christmas Day their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then from each black accursed mouth the cannon thundered in the south. It was if an earthquake rent the heart stones of a continent. And in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men. And that phrase of Longfellow's, peace on earth, goodwill to men, is now part of the standard Christmas lexicon, and it comes from the New Testament, Luke 2:14 to be precise, when upon Jesus' birth an angel appeared to shepherds in the field with a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Then there's one of my favorite bell songs of the holiday season that doesn't get enough love, I think, and that's Ring Out Wild Bells, which comes from the 1850 poem by Alfred Lord Tennyson. Ring out the old, ring in the new, ring happy bells across the snow. The year is going, let him go. Ring out the false, ring in the true. In this poem and later hymn, there's the double meaning of the death of a friend and the grief that goes along with that, as well as the death of an old year and the hope that comes with the new one. And that brings us to the first bell idiom to take a look at, to ring something in, especially to ring in the new year, as in when someone asks you, how'd you ring in the new year? And this one comes from the English custom of ringing out the old year at midnight on New Year's Eve by tolling the church bells as though for a person who had died, and then ringing in the new year with more cheerful peals. And this was done by half muffling the bells for the death of the old year and then removing the muffles to mark the birth of the new year. And this custom also involved the use of full circle ringing, which developed in England in the early 1600s, and in which the bells were swung in a way that they almost complete a full circle instead of just the usual pendulum back and forth. At any rate, it makes a different sound and the ringer can control the speed, and it's an interesting rabbit hole to go down for those inclined. And finally, just as a side note here on this idiom to ring in the new year, some people actually now use the phrase bring in the new year as a variation on that one. And it's not wrong per se, but it loses that historical connection with the ringing of bells, so it's not for me. And There are a lot of other idioms that have to do with ringing or chiming and therefore bells, but we've got a lot of idioms to look at that have to do just with bells, so maybe another episode. And we've already looked at some bell idioms in prior episodes, like bats in the belfry in episode 2, meaning crazy or eccentric erratic behavior, or bell the cat, or dead ringer, or dumbbell from the cartoonist Tad Dorgan, or even the idiom sea change, which has a bell connection, as it originated in Shakespeare's The Tempest, where you have sea nymphs hourly ringing the knell of a prince's dead father, ding-dong bell. And speaking of ringing a death knell, that's an idiom in its own right, whether it's phrased as sounding or ringing or tolling the death knell. And that one, of course, means to cause the end of, as in the many people proclaiming that the internet and digital media sounded the death knell for print-based businesses. And this is another one that comes from an ancient custom in England where bells were rung three specific times before and after death. First, the passing bell, was rung when the person was still dying, then the death knell upon the death, and finally the lich bell, which was rung at the funeral as the procession approached the church. And the ringing of the lich bell is now called the funeral toll, and it refers to the handbell that's rung before a corpse that's being conveyed. And it comes from the archaic term lich gate, which refers to a gateway that's covered with a roof that's found at the entrance to a traditional English churchyard. The idiom "for whom the bell tolls," as well as the title of a Hemingway book, also comes from these bells that ring at death. And this one is often used as shorthand for the fuller phrase here, which arises in a work by John Donne in 1623, entitled Devotions Upon Emergent Occasions, Meditation 17. And it's really a great statement with a lot of wisdom that talks about the interconnectedness of humanity. And it has a few phrases that are still around, used in modern culture 400 years later. So it's worth quoting this in full, I think. No man is an island entire of himself. Each is a piece of the continent, a part of the main. If a clod be washed away by the sea, Europe is the less, as well as if a promontory were, as well as if a manor of thine own or of thine friends were. Each man's death diminishes me, for I am involved in mankind. Therefore, sin not to know for whom the bell tolls. It tolls for thee. So this idiom obviously means something like, don't ask for whom the funeral bells toll, because they also toll for you, because we're all a part of mankind. When somebody else dies, I die a little. Or maybe just that each time you hear a funeral bell toll, it's a reminder of the fact that someday it will toll for you. And finally, I can't not talk about bells being rung to mark a death without mentioning that great Pink Floyd song, Time. You are young and life is long, and there is time to kill today. And then one day you find 10 years have got behind you. No one told you when to run. You missed the starting gun. And you run to catch up with the sun, but it's sinking, racing around to come up behind you again. And then at the end, far away across the field, the tolling of the iron bell calls the faithful to their knees to hear the softly spoken magic spells. And all this use of bells to mark death made me think of another idiom, that you can't unring a bell. And I thought this one might also have something to do with the irreversibility of death, giving its meaning that you can't take something back once it's said or done. Whatever's done is done. But it turns out that this one first arose, it appears, in an Oregon Supreme Court case in 1912, which makes sense, as this idiom is most often used in the context of jury trials to refer to inadmissible evidence that a jury nevertheless sees or hears. And so the judge in those cases will often instruct the jury to ignore that evidence. But the saying goes that you can't unring that bell, that once a jury's heard it, it can't simply forget it. And in that 1912 case of Oregon v. Rader, the defendant Rader was tried and convicted of arson for burning two haystacks. But the Oregon Supreme Court reversed the conviction because of some inadmissible evidence, writing, while in some cases an express instruction to the jury to disregard testimony injuriously admitted is properly held to cure the error, yet the courts are cautious in the application of this rule. It is not an easy task to unring a bell, nor to remove from the mind an impression once firmly imprinted there. And the opposite of unringing a bell in some ways is to ring a bell, referring to something that causes one to remember something or jogs one's memory, which is an idiom in its own right there. You also heard is to jar one's memory. And this one, to ring a bell, is often used as that doesn't ring a bell when a stimulus to memory fails to bring up anything. And it arose as an idiom in the early 1900s, and there's those that think that it originated as a reference to the experiments of Ivan Pavlov in 1897, who showed that dogs can be prompted to salivate at the sound of a bell once they're conditioned to expect food at the ringing of a bell, even when there's no food forthcoming. There's no real hard evidence for that theory, though, other than the timing and the logical connection, but it's probably as good as any. Some posit that this one just refers to the universal use of bells to summon one's attention. And it could also refer, I think, to the fact that it does seem like a faint little bell rings in your head, kind of like a little light bulb flicking on when you suddenly remember something. And not only can something ring a bell, but somebody's bell can be rung, as in, I really got my bell rung, or I really rang his bell. And this one has two different meanings, which are, again, kind of opposite. The first is to strike someone with a violent blow to the head. And this one makes intuitive sense when you think of the tongue of the bell, or the clapper as it's known, striking the part of the bell right above its lip, which is called the sound bow. And then the vibration of the bell that follows, you know, that's just kind of similar to a blow to the head, resulting in one being shook up. And the second meaning for ringing someone's bell, though, is to strike someone's fancy, to really be attractive or arousing to someone, as in, she really rings my bell. And this could arise in the same way that we have the idiom, she really knocks me out, or she's a knockout, meaning that you're so struck by someone or something that it's like a jolt or blow to the system that knocks you out. There's not really a whole lot of information out there on this one that I could find, though, so that's just my best guess here. Another blow-to-the-head related idiom is saved by the bell, meaning to escape catastrophe through a last-minute intervention. And as you might expect, this one comes from the sport of boxing. When a boxer is knocked to the ground, he must get back to his feet before the ref counts to 10 or his opponent wins. However, if the end of the round bell sounds before the boxer is counted out, then he's allowed to continue fighting in the next round, so he's saved by the bell. And as I think about the new year approaching and the parties going on to celebrate, I think of the phrase to be there with bells on, meaning to be ready to celebrate, eager to show up festively adorned, as in replying to a party invitation with something like, of course I'm coming, I'll be there with bells on. And it seems to have arisen as an idiom in the U.S. around the turn of the 20th century. There are a lot of different theories, though, as to where this one came from, all of which make some sense. First, it kind of reminds one of the bells that are worn as part of jesters' costumes, with jesters being sine qua non for big parties back in the day. And this jester theory leads to another idiom, wear the cap and bells, which means to provide humor and merriment, often by acting as a target for mockery. And that comes directly from the hat adorned with bells that court jesters once wore. And to be there with bells on could also refer to all those Christmas bells ringing in the festive occasions we talked about earlier. The sleigh bells jingling, ring ting tingling too. Along those lines, it could come from the bells that were added as decorations to the harnesses of horses in parades or circuses, etc. And so someone coming to a party with bells on wasn't just coming. He was planning to come in with a flourish to boost the festive spirit. And it could refer to the old nursery rhyme. See a fine lady upon a white horse, rings on her fingers and bells on her toes, and she shall have music wherever she goes. Which also, as an aside, reminds me of that Grateful Dead lyric from Scarlet Begonias. She had rings on her fingers and bells on her shoes, and I knew without asking she was into the blues. Another place that to be there with bells on could have arisen is as a derivation from a different idiom, all the bells and whistles, where bells is also used to suggest a kind of exuberant ornamentation. I think here talking about the purchase of a new car with my brother and each of us simultaneously using the phrase all the bells and whistles to describe its loaded features. And this one is indeed usually used to mean those features or accessories that are nice bonuses, but not really indispensable for the device to work. And this one's pretty modern in origin, though, so it seems unlikely to have been a source for the idiom to be there with bells on. Its first use seems to have been in the mid-19th century in reference to the noisemakers on streetcars, trains, steamships. When back then, the only real way to make a loud noise or sound the alarm was to ring a bell or toot a whistle, so having both in abundance could mean having all the features. It seems mostly to have been used literally in that context, however, and so a more likely origin for the phrase as an idiom seems to me to relate to the cinema organ, which in the heyday of films, silent films, would rise up out of a pit to entertain, along with an organist. So you had an organ like the Mighty Wurlitzer, which would augment its repertoire with various sound effects like car horns, sirens, and bird whistles. All these effects were called toys, and organs, they often had toy counters with 20 or more noisemakers on them, including various bells and whistles. At any rate, whether you find yourself with bells on at a party with all the bells and whistles or not, I hope that the new year finds us all sound as bells. Sound as a bell, of course, is an idiom meaning in excellent condition or very healthy, as in the surgery went well and now she's sound as a bell. And this one was first recorded in 1565 and likely refers to the idea that a bell with a crack in it will not ring clearly and is therefore useless. And so a bell must be sound in order to sound. Think here of the idiom or metaphor, clear as a bell, connoting something sounding out pure and unmistakable. And it's also possible that this idiom has stuck around like it has because of the pun there with the double meaning of sound. On the other hand, maybe crack bells aren't so useless. And I'll end the episode and this year, as far as the podcast is concerned, with the great line from the Leonard Cohen song Anthem, even if it's not really an idiom. Ring the bells that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There is a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. Thanks for listening and wishing you much success in ringing out the false and ringing in the true as you ring in 2022.